సహనౌ భునక్తు సవీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి.
Chikmagalur, Catholic of the days.
Yeah.
You went? So, no, Guruji was, yeah, I went, but he was just asking.
Okay. Just a minute. Today we do the summary of chapter 4. Chapter 4 entitled as Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. The Yoga of Renunciation of Action in Wisdom. It starts with Lord Krishna saying to Arjuna that this very same knowledge was given to me, to Vivaswan, and Vivaswan gave it to Manu, Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. Obviously he is referring to what he spoke in chapter 2 and chapter 3. So this very same knowledge which is imparted to you today was given to me, given to these people by me. And due to long lapse of time, this knowledge is lost. What he is saying is, basically whatever I had to say, I have said in the second chapter and the third chapter. That is why we say, like in news, the headlines is given first, then elaborate news, and again they give you the headlines once again when they finish the news. Exactly like that in Bhagavad Gita, whatever he had to say, he had said in second chapter and third chapter. Now from 4th chapter till 17th chapter, it is elaborating on what he said. And then in 18th chapter, again, it is a summary or headlines of what he is trying to say. This is how the thought flow goes. So he says, whatever I have to say, I have said. The same thing I gave it to Vivaswan, the sun god, the very first being. And then he imparted it to Manu and Manu to Ikshvaku. Thus, it was handed down in succession. This knowledge was given in succession from father to son. The great sages knew all this, but due to long lapse of time, it has been lost. When he says due to long lapse of time, this has been lost, what he is trying to say is, I explain this with an example of river flowing. When river is flowing, there is water, everybody gets benefit from that. But after a while, when the river dries up, still there is water, but what you will see is only the sand bed. You could still get water from there, provided you dig deep inside and draw the water outside. Exactly like that, when a person, using the knowledge given to him by his master, his guru, he goes deep inside and reveals the self, and he himself is a self-realized soul, and he passes on the knowledge to his sishyas. But due to long lapse of time, after the guru has given up his physical body, what is left is only the words. Lot of the scriptures that we have today are nothing but words. Like if you take Bhagavad Gita for example, is nothing but the words of Lord Krishna. Many of us keep the Bhagavad Gita text in our puja room and pray. Some of us get hold of the words and then get stuck there. Instead of digging deep through the words, using the words as mirror and going within us and revealing the self, we get stuck with the words. So he says, due to long lapse of time, only tradition is continuing. People are holding on to the skeleton and they have left the soul. This is what is happening. If you see, in many places, we give importance to the length and not to the depth. Who is really interested in making this knowledge our own? For that, you need to go and put it into practice, make it an applied knowledge. Then it stays with you. Whatever you study, if you just memorize it, a rote knowledge, what happens is, after a while, it's evaporated. It's volatile. But if you experiment it in the lab, you put it into practice, then you will never forget. Like one of the things as sadhaks, what we do is teaching. Because the more you teach, more you explain, you're not going to forget those concepts. And much more than that is putting it into practice. So this is what he's saying. Due to long lapse of time, this knowledge is lost. This knowledge is lost. Actually speaking, this knowledge is not lost. Otherwise, why would we be sitting and studying? The text is available, but the direct connection is not there. When the Guru is there, he is the living knowledge. He is in direct connection with divinity. When he has given up his body, there is no direct connection with divinity, only the words are left. But these words are helpful. To use them, go deeper and reveal the self from within. But how many of us do that? Many of us say, there is no time. All of us are interested in wanting to study these things, but not much time. Other priorities. Right? That is why, in fact, some of the traditional places, they will only give to people who come there. They will not make this knowledge available to everybody and anybody. If you want the knowledge, then you have to go seeking it. So he says, this knowledge has been lost. Then now Arjuna gets a doubt. You say that you gave this knowledge to Vivaswan, but Vivaswan was born many, many years ago. You were born just recently. Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvata. How is it that am I to believe that you gave this knowledge to Vivaswan when you were just born recently? Obviously, when Lord Krishna is making such a statement, he is making a statement which is made from a deeper level. But a person who is at the surface level finds it difficult to understand. But since Arjuna has surrendered and is asking questions, now Krishna continues to explain that. So he says, Vivaswan was born long time ago. You were born recently. How you could have given this knowledge to Vivaswan? Then Lord Krishna says, many janmas, many births of yours and mine have gone. You do not know them all while I know them all. Can anyone remember what example I gave to explain this verse? When he says, many janmas of yours and mine have gone by, you know them, you know not them all while I know them all. Gave the example of somebody living next to the railway station, topmost floor of a building, 25th or 30th floor, and then some guests have come who stay with them, and after a few days they are going back. So the husband has said, I'll go and see them off up to the station, I'll walk them with them, you be at home only. So the wife stays back. The husband has gone with the guest to the railway station to see them off. The husband and the guest, who are waiting at the platform, could only sight the train when the train enters the platform. Yes or no? And once the guest has boarded the train, husband could only see the train till the train leaves the platform. Whereas the wife, who is sitting at the top floor of the building next to the railway station, she could see the train much before it comes and enters the platform, and much after the train has left the platform. I gave this example. In other words, exactly like that in our life, if you go deeper and deeper, the perception becomes much subtler. This can only be understood by a person who is at the subtler level. So all this I know. When Krishna says, Lord Krishna is not talking as Mr. Krishna here. Mr. Krishna would not know more than his janma. What happens within that time, only he knows. But when Mr. Krishna has gone beyond the boundaries of the body, mind and intellect and has identified with the Atma, one who has gone to the deeper levels, for him all this is known. So this is what when Krishna says, many janmas of yours have gone by and mine have gone by, you do not know them all while I know them all. So it's a question of how deep one is going within and identifying and speaking. When anything you see at the gross level, it must have existed at the subtle level before it came into the gross existence. So if you can go at the subtler level, you would catch it even before it is manifested. Are you with me? They say the disease in the body has come much later, but it has actually come much before at the subtler level, at the karmic cycle level, karmic body level, well before, many months before. Only then it comes to the body level. So if you could go to the karmic body level, then you could see the disease there. Like you would see certain people behaving in a particular way, then you can say that yes, the way this fellow is behaving now, his destiny is going to be like this. You can predict it, because this is the karma which is going to result in certain destiny. And if this fellow is continuously functioning like this, you can almost predict his destiny. So this is what Lord Krishna is saying. And then he goes on to talk about how we are actually born as an individual, how this birth of individuality happens. He says in verse number 6, which is very, very important verse, which also we explain with an example. He says, though unborn, though the Atma is unborn and of imperishable nature and Lord of all beings, presiding over my own Prakriti, I am born by my own Maya. Now how did we explain this? I explained this with the example of hypnosis, which in fact many times I have mentioned that example. You keep a cold stone or a cold charcoal in your palm, and you are hypnotized by somebody else to believe that it is a hot charcoal. After a while you can't take that heat, you drop it. And when they bring you out of that hypnosis state, hypnotic state, you would find mark, actual mark on your palms. When it was not a real hot charcoal, how you could have a burn? How did this burn take birth? How? How did this happen? How did this phenomenon happen?
Through the mind.
Through the mind. Through the bhav. You understand? So exactly, we are all taking birth as an individuals by our own maya, our own mind, our own prakriti. The difference between us and Mahatmas is they are aware of the secret, we are not aware. That's all. Actually, there is no hot charcoal, as a result of which there can be no burn. It is self-inflicted. So if I have taken as a birth as an individual, it is due to my mind, my own bhav. That is why the philosophy very deeply says, in fact you will study these things in the 8th chapter, that make sure that you have positive thoughts. He says, what thought a person dies with, accordingly he'll be given birth next. Therefore you have to be careful of the last thought, he says. And interesting thing is, last thought will be as per your thoughts that you lived throughout your life. Suddenly last thought, you cannot have a divine thought. Lot of people say Narayana, say Narayana. You understand? Just before the fellow is going to die, say Narayana, say Narayana. And that fellow also says Narayana. But what he is trying to say is, a fellow called Narayana had taken crores of rupees from him. He owes crores of rupees. Please don't leave him alone. Get the money back from him. You understand? In other words, throughout your life, if you have been having certain thoughts, your last thought will be according to that only. Suddenly you cannot have divine thoughts. So the thoughts are created you, have created you. So therefore he says, due to our bhav, we are born. I know this. Once you become aware of this, thereafter there is no more birth for you. Thereafter you are not going to go into such a bhav and create individuality again. You need to fall into that ignorance to take this birth. And once you have reached that awareness state, thereafter you control your activities and not get controlled by your activities. That is the prime message he is trying to give from now on. So he says, I know this. I know this means all those people who reach the Atma, who have reached that awareness state, they know. Therefore, when somebody suffers, they will not go and unsettle the minds of the ignorant, which Lord Krishna already spoke about in the third chapter, if you remember. He said, a wise man would not go and unsettle the minds of the ignorant. He will just go along with them. He is not going to say, "Arey yaar, there is actually no birth. You are not there. What do you mean suffering?" He is not going to talk like that. He goes along with that person and helps him from his level. Yeah. Now the question may be, why would he help? If he knows that this is a creation, it is actually not there, it is just created out of one's own mind, then why would he go and help? Any person who has reached a state of awareness, his natural activity would be based on compassion. To explain this, I said, when somebody is walking in front of you, who has been talking on the mobile phone, as a result of which he did not see the pit in front and he fell into the pit. You are walking few meters behind the person. You see the fellow going down the pit, or a small puppy had fallen, let us say. You go into the pit consciously to get the puppy out, to help the person out. You are also going into the pit. You are not falling into the pit, you are going down into the pit. So when you say avatara, avatara means one who descends. Avatarati iti avatara. One who has descended. So a person who has reached the awareness, thereafter his life in world would continue acting, performing compassionate actions, consciously coming down to our level and trying to help us towards that state of awareness. So he says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bhakta abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam sarjami aham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanardaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Once a person has reached that state of awareness, thereafter his all his life, what he would be doing is to help people who are struggling to get back to that awareness. Go and spread that awareness to them. Here in this context, I said, paritranaya sadhunam is this. To help the, to protect the sadhus. Sadhus really don't need protection. From dharmic people, doesn't require protection from adharmic. Dharma is more strong or the adharma is more strong?
Dharma.
If dharma is more strong, how can it be overpowered by adharma? It cannot be. Are you with me? Here in this context, I explain with an example of people following the traffic rules lovingly. Having values to follow, lovingly following. Others are following out of compulsion. Have to. So many of us are functioning in this world like that. So he tries to move people from have to love to. That's the difference that he is trying to explain here. So when he says, protect the sadhus, he is not talking about those sadhus who are established. He is talking about those people who are trying to establish themselves in divinity. Such people could be overpowered by adharmic people. Like when somebody is still not established in knowledge, such people would be confused, isn't it, by the other set of thinkers. Therefore, such people are protected to go towards awareness. Paritranaya sadhunam. vinashayacha dushkritam. Vinashayacha dushkritam means what? If supposing you kill one person, can you destroy the unrighteousness completely? So is he talking about physical destruction? He is talking about destruction of ignorance. When the ignorance is removed from the society, thereafter there can be no more delusion anymore. Because a lot of us think, if you remove all the negative elements and establish righteousness, thereafter negative things cannot happen. It is not like that. In fact, the more you fight with negativity, the more negativity will spread. So when he says destroy the unrighteous forces, the unrighteous, the ignorance in the unrighteous force. Only when it becomes mandatory to eliminate the person also, the person is eliminated. Otherwise, only try to reform. Understand? When he says destroy unrighteous, means reforming is what we need to understand, not destruction literally. And then such people who have gone beyond this and understood the secret of birth, how the whole thing happens, thereafter they are not born again. Such people are not bound by whatever actions they do. Now this portion is a very important portion that he talks about. In this verse number 18 is a very important verse, which to explain we spent few weeks with certain examples. In this portion what he is saying is, from 10 onwards, he is saying that a person who has reached that state of awareness, once he has reached that state of awareness, he is not going to lose that state of awareness. Like for example, if somebody has been speaking wrong English, and if he is refined and he has learned to speak good English, he cannot fall back to speaking wrong English. Exactly like that, once you have been evolved, once you have evolved to a higher state of awareness, you can't fall back to the lower state of non-awareness or ignorance. So these people, thereafter they continue to act, but with awareness, understanding very clearly that Prakriti carries out the action. Atma is a non-doer. The Kartritva Bhav does not remain in them anymore. The root of all problem is Kartritva. The root of all problem is Kartritva. So what he is saying is, please understand there is something called as karma and there is something called as akarma. You must learn to see karma in akarma and akarma in karma. How did we explain this? Karma in akarma and akarma in karma. Atma is a non-doer. Mind is the doer. Are you with me? If you put it in simple terms, Atma, the self, is a non-doer. Then who is the doer? Mind is the doer. Now, out of ignorance, we identify ourselves with the mind and believe that we are the doer. And therefore, we have to face the repercussions of all our actions. But those who have gone beyond this and have got the clarity, only Atma I am, and Atma is a non-doer, and actual doing is of the mind. To explain this, we said, sometimes you may find a person very active, but inside he is identifying with Atma, and therefore he is a non-doer even while he is performing action. On the contrary, you may find somebody else physically not doing anything, but mentally so much of Kartritva. Like I said, when two people fight, husband and wife, children and parents, I will not talk to you, I will stop working, let me see how the house functions when I am not working. suddenly you will come and sit in a group and remain very quiet. Actually inside you want everybody to ask you, what happened to you? Why are you very quiet? Why are you not yourself? Basically, inside, even when the mind is outside pretending to be quiet, inside it is very, very active. Mind means action. Remember this. Atma is not acting. But what is happening is, due to ignorance, we are thinking ourselves to be the doer. Like when there is a movie being projected on the screen, and on the screen you find some black mark. So you take a cloth and try to wipe it, wipe the screen, and you are wiping for a few minutes, but the black mark is not going. Why it is not going? Because the black mark is actually not on the screen. The black mark is actually on the projector. So you are wiping it on the wrong place. Exactly like that. Here Lord Krishna is trying to tell us that you are actually Atma. Atma is a non-doer. So we gave the example of a passenger boarding the train in Delhi to go to Agra. And he was so tired, as soon as he entered the train, he lay down and he went off to sleep. And when he woke up, he was already in Agra. Now he says, I went from Delhi to Agra. When he says, I went from Delhi to Agra, you know that he was actually sleeping. It was a train that was moving. In the train, he was not moving. Exactly, our mind is moving. You are not moving, but you are imagining yourself that you are moving. This is the problem. So Adi Shankara explains this by saying, first, Atma in, rather, Akarma in Karma. Seeing Atma in every activity. And other one is seeing Karma in Akarma. Even when the mind is remaining as if it's quiet, seeing the potential of activity in the mind. Even if the mind is sleeping, it's like poisonous snake, cold stricken. You know what is called cold stricken? A snake, when it is in a sub-zero condition, it gets stricken by the cold. So you can play frisbee with it, literally. But if little bit temperature goes up, the snake will come back to life and you can be killed. So mind, even though outside it appears quiet, inside there is so much of activity. Why is he saying this in this context? He is telling Arjuna, you are finding me on the battlefield, being your Sarathi. I am Partha Sarathi here. I am doing so much of action. But inside, I am identified with Atma. I know that I am not doing anything. Whereas you, Arjuna, you are saying, I will go and sit down at home rather than fighting here. But even though you are sitting at home, your mind will be full of desires and actions and vasanas. Akarma in karma, karma in akarma. Therefore, Lord Krishna is suggesting that it is better to be on the battlefield, identifying with Atma and functioning, rather than not being on the battlefield. Battlefield, you utilize it with your work environment, whatever obligations. Better to be there and remaining there, identifying with Atma, functioning objectively, rather than not doing it, sitting at home with all the vasanas and desires. So Adi Shankara says, a ferryman is ferrying few passengers. And one of the passengers, while he is being ferried, says, look at those moving trees. No tree moves. Right? The boat is moving. While the boat is moving, he is attributing the movement to the trees out of ignorance. So the ferryman, instead of arguing with him and disturbing him, he says, look for the non-movement in the moving trees. Are you with me? Look for the non-movement in the moving trees, as it were. And the other example he gives is, a fellow is standing on the shore with his friend and he's seeing the ship far away in the ocean, and he says, look at those stationary ships. Actually the ships are moving, but from distance it appears as if they are not moving, they're stationary. So this the other fellow understands. So he says, look for the movement in the apparently non-moving ship. Exactly like that, our mind, if we think by forcefully quietening it, a lot of people do this, forcefully quieten, suddenly something has gone wrong. Suddenly they think, if they don't wear jewels, if they give up everything, and they will straight be taken to heaven. Nothing will happen. Inside, all the desires, everything is there. Just the temporary phase of problem, whatever it is, removed, then everything will come back. What we call as Smashana Vairagya. You know, when somebody, father has passed away, one or two children may say, I'm not interested in the property. It's okay, you give them all. The other fellow happily takes everything. Happily, or whatever it is, he's taken it. And after 10 years, you may fight with him. Because all the shoka is now gone. And you say, no, no, no. What about my portion? Give it back to me. So in other words, mind is something that moves. Asthira and chanchala. Atma is something that is never doing anything. And you are that Atma. But unfortunately, you are attributing that movement to Atma out of ignorance. This is all we need to understand. This is, it must become very clear to you. Now intellectually we appreciate this. Like in schools, you study the theory, the law in the class. Then what do? You go to the lab and then experiment. Isn't it? Theory, you study in the class and you go to the lab and experiment. What is the lab in your case? Your own life. If you just come to the class, study and don't experiment it in your life, you are not going to be not affected by the karma. You will definitely have the effect of karma. You will have the what? Pap and punya. Just theory will not help you. So therefore, this is only one half of the battle. The other half is your applying of this knowledge in your life. Trying to do activities objectively. To recharge yourself, do your daily reflections in the mornings. So that at least that particular day or those days, you will be able to perform objective actions. And when you perform objective actions, you don't develop impressions or samskaras or vasanas. And when there are no more vasanas, there is no question of rebirth. This is what he is trying to say. So remember this portion when he talked about karma in akarma and akarma in karma. This must be very, very clear to you. If you really understand this, thereafter you will not forcefully resort to what? Running away from action. because you clearly understand, even if I run away from my action, wherever I run, I'll have to run with my mind only, no? You escape from your country and you go to some other country. And then you say, oh, that country gives this, that, so in that country I'll be living peacefully. You are going with your same mind. Don't forget that. Why are you not peaceful in your country? Nothing wrong with your country. You may attribute so many reasons for your lack of peace. You may say so many relatives are staying nearby. If I go far away, I'll be peaceful. Right? This is what a lot of people think. Oh, if I get out of this, I will be happy. We are attributing the agitation to the external environment, not to our mind. In the same environment, there are people who are peaceful. In the same environment, isn't it? So that means it is your mind that is causing the disturbance. Now what do? You migrate to Canada, New Zealand, Australia, wherever. And then there also you find yourself agitated. Why? Because you've carried your fragrance, your manas, your vasanas with you. If you remain selfish here, as a result of which you were agitated, you will continue to be selfish in the other countries as well. Isn't it? If you start behaving the way with selfishness you have been behaving here, there also, in those countries also, you will continue to be agitated. It is nothing to do with the place. It is nothing to do with the people outside. So he says, clearly understand these things. Akarma in karma and karma in akarma. Thereafter you will stop running away from karma. Then what will you do? You will turn every karma into a yajna. So next he starts talking about the concept of yajna. He explains beautifully from verses 24 till 30. 24 is this famous verse. Brahma arpanam, brahma avihi, brahma agnav, brahmana hutam, brahma ivatena gantavyam, brahma karma samadhina. In other words, all, you have to say like that, all his actions are powered by awareness of the Atma. Everything is Brahman and Brahman alone. The one who is doing is Brahman. The instruments used is Brahman. The goals achieved is Brahman. Everything is Brahman. And since a very powerful thing that one has to go through every day, also it's a very powerful sense contact, is eating.
Eating.
You can't live without eating. Even if you say I survive on one meal, that one meal you have to eat. And what happens is, very often we lose awareness. Rather than eating to live, we start living to eat. Therefore this example, this mantra is very often chanted before meal, that what is eaten is Brahman. One who is eating is Brahman. And why am I eating? I am eating to reach Brahman, maintaining that awareness. That is all yajna is. Yajna is action underlined by awareness. Now he talks about 12 yajnas. What are all the 12 yajnas that he talks about? Daiva yajna, Brahma yajna, then Vishayagrahana yajna, Dama yajna, Shama yajna, Dravya yajna, Tapo yajna, Yoga yajna, Swadhyaya yajna, Jnana yajna, Pranayama yajna, Ahara niyama yajna. 12 yajnas. Maintaining this awareness, one should act. But in the beginning, when one continues in the path of spirituality, he has not reached that much of awareness yet. Such a person needs to act for Atma Shuddhi. He has desires. It is not that the desires are gone. He He can act purely with awareness. He is not able to do that. So therefore, such a person, two things we need to understand. Every one of us have essentially come from animals. Don't forget this. We'll talk about this in detail in some other class. But even science tells us, we have all evolved from single cell amoeba. Then from single cell amoeba, worms came. From worms, fishes, then amphibians, then reptiles, then primates, then humans, and then modern humans. So we have essentially come from animals. So the animal tendencies are there in us. Very often, man, when left alone, functions like animal or worse than animal. Seldom does man function like man. Isn't it? Seldom does man function like man. Man also has the potential of rising above the level of man and attaining divinity. Man can either rise and attain divinity, or continue to be man, or come low to the level of animals, or get lower than the level of animals. Are you with me? This is possible in the case of human beings. Now, how am I connecting that to this verse, this portion? We are today having the animal tendencies. Now, we need to ask ourselves in every action, am I doing this activity propelled by animal tendency, or what are my human reasons for this? Are you with me? An action can be propelled by animal tendency, or a human reason could be there. Now, best option is action should be done with human reason. Better, in the sense, the middle mediocre category is, I am not able to act with human reason. I have to go along with animal tendency. But at least I make a choice and then go with animal tendency. The worst is, I am overpowered by my animal tendency and then I am functioning like an animal even without awareness. Do you see the difference? So like that, we have desires. We are not able to keep aside our desires and purely function out of obligations and awareness. We are not in that state. Therefore, what do? We dedicate the desires for higher goal, to the higher altar and function. That is what is called as Deva Yajna. Ultimate goal is to reach that state of awareness, not to act on desire. Ultimately, I don't want to function, I don't want to have any of my actions having any animal reason. That is the highest state. But I'm not there now. Isn't it? So now at least, let me be conscious and do that. Right? So Deva Yajna. Then the other one that he talks about is Brahma Yajna. Doing it only for the sake of Brahman. Identifying with Brahman, Atman, and doing the action. That is absolute, this is relative. Then the sadhak has to do or convert his everyday activities into sadhana. That is, first he starts off with Vishaya Grahana Yajna and Dhamma Yajna. In fact, both can be called as Dhamma Yajna. But there's two things mentioned here. What is that? What is the Vishaya Grahana Yajna and what is Dhamma Yajna? How do you understand that? What did we discuss in those contexts? You can refer to your notes. Vishaya means what? Sense objects, material world. Now, you can't be keeping your eyes closed and moving around in the world. You will be having your eyes open. And when your eyes are open, Vishaya is going to fall. Usually when any Vishaya falls into your eyes, what happens? Your mind goes into a tour. isn't it? Literally for a two. Vishaya Grahana Yajna means Vishaya comes and falls, mind doesn't go on a two. Are you with me? Understand it this way.
Restraint.
Then Dhamma Yajna is what? Your senses are not taken to the material world. We do both. When the material world comes in contact with our eyes, ears, nose and all the senses, we go for a chakra tour. Otherwise, we also take the senses to the sense world outside. You understand? Two things happen. From outside, the world enters us. From inside, we go out and contact. Those who are living in the world, most of us are living like this. Without awareness, it is morning, noon and night. All that we are trying to do is this. For example, during weekends and vacations, what are we doing? Maximum indulgence. One fellow, when I was studying in the ashram, I had to go for some work to Mumbai. Our ashram is in between Mumbai and Pune, near Lonavala. I boarded the train and I was going. Suddenly, one fellow came and he started selling something. And he was saying, time pass. Time pass? You know, I was curious. What is he selling? Well, time pass. I don't know, what is this time pass he's selling? You know, he had a big bag. He's selling Mumfali. Mumfali, he is calling it as time pass. He is sitting in the train, what to do? Usually when we travel in the train, you understand? Going on eating, you pack so much.
Thank God, this before I've done the 25 minutes.
So the thing is, what are we doing? We are sending our senses and parking it in the world, and when the sense objects are falling on us, there is no restraint, nothing, no awareness.
But with awareness, you
can do. No, obviously. Even with awareness, you fast. When we fast also, we don't have any awareness. When we feast also, we don't have any awareness. It is nothing wrong to fast or feast. Both needs to be underlined by awareness. That's what he's talking about here. Mindful contact, mindful eating, mindful contacts. Not mindless. So he's saying, so many things are falling, coming in contact with our senses. You control them. When we say sense control, it is not applying brake. It is driving the car. Anybody can say that I am controlling the car and the car is stationary. Car is parked. You are sitting inside and holding on to the steering and saying, car is under my control. What's the big deal? And the car is stationary and you are sitting inside and saying that a car is under my control, it's no big deal. The car should be moving. Then the car should be under your control. Then you say you are controlling the car. So in other words, you are in the driver's seat controlling the car. Similarly, your senses are controlled by you. Your sense contacts and all those things that come in contact with your senses, you take a call, you decide. How many of our actions today we can claim to have been done like this? Huh? Afterwards we regret. I should not have overeaten. One fellow had terrible stomach ache. So he rushed. He was taken to a clinic. There so many patients were there to meet the doctor. So his turn was, he had to wait for so many hours. But he could not bear his stomach ache. Stomach problem. So he just opened the door and went inside the doctor's cabin. Already doctor was diagnosing a patient there. So he said, "What happened? I can't tolerate my stomach problem. I'll sit down quietly here. After you finish everything, you please do something with me. I'm sorry, I barged in. I can't wait there." He said, "Okay, okay." And after a few minutes, he said, "Okay, what happened? Stomach problem, terrible, terrible." Then he checked him and everything. He said, "Nothing wrong with you. You just over it. That's all. You over it." So he said, "Put two fingers into your mouth and vomit." He said, "Sir, if I have space for that, I would have taken two more bananas." You understand? So usually what do? We go on stuffing. Without any awareness. With all the senses we do this. With all the senses we do this. So you must maintain, you must have that awareness while contacting. Not after. Many of us don't even have awareness after contact. What's wrong? We'll say. But while contact. Then Shama Yajna. Dama and Shama. What is Shama Yajna?
Mind
control. What is mind control?
Thoughts.
Controlling thoughts. What does controlling thoughts mean? The most important aspect of education is this. If I start doing, because we have to live in a society. When you are living in a society, you can't do things as per your likes, as per your thoughts. You understand? You need to see which thoughts can be allowed, which thoughts should not be allowed. When it could be allowed, when it should not be allowed. How much it should be allowed, how much it should not be allowed. You are not allowing the external contacts to go in. You are protecting it. But inside, there are thoughts already. No? The God is not allowing any new fellow inside. But there are people already inside the house. Similarly, within you there are thoughts. You are not allowing unnecessary stimuli to go inside from your external world through Dhamma Yajna. Through Shama Yajna, you have to control and direct and govern the already existing vasanas and thoughts. It's called Shama Yajna. Are you with me? So Deva Yajna, Brahma Yajna, Vishaya Grahana Yajna, then Dhamma Yajna, then Shama Yajna. Five Yajnas. Then after this he talks about
Shama Yajna is channelizing those thoughts. Or
yes, channelizing. Controlling and channelizing. Those thoughts which cannot be allowed to manifest in a context. You understand? So those, you need to have the control over yourself.
Exact difference
between Dhamma Yajna and Shama. I told you, Dhamma is stimuli control. Shama is thought control. Stimuli comes from the external world. Thoughts are inside you. And the senses are at the surface level. Stimuli is coming from the outside world. Senses are at the surface level. So first he spoke about those two. Then thoughts which are inside you, that he talks about. Then having controlled all this, when you are acting, he says Dravya Yajna. Sacrifice of wealth. Sacrifice of wealth means what? It's not just giving. It's not. He's not talking about charity. That is also included. But when he says Dravya Yajna, means all that you give. First 5 years, coconut tree just goes on taking, taking, taking. Then, and why does it take? To strengthen itself. Strengthens its roots. Then it starts giving till death. Similarly, we are living in this world. We have to offer. This whole universe is governed by the value of interdependence. Therefore, we need to be contributing as well. Don't forget, verse number 11 of chapter 3. Parasparam bhava yantaha. You understand? We spoke about, we studied about all those things. So now, when you go to act, act in the spirit of giving, dravya yajna, then in your life there should be tapas, sacrifice. What is tapas? Tapo yajna. Tapas has two main aspects. One is conserving the energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels, and the other is directing that conserved energy towards higher. You understand? So tapo yajna. People like Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, they also did tapas, but their tapas was not yajna. Their tapas was to swell. When tapo yajna, when you say, the tapas is to grow. You need to clearly distinguish between swelling and growing. When any part of your body swells, it is not the growth of the body. Isn't it? If there is something growing in a particular part, then the doctor will be saying, we need to do biopsy to make sure whether it is malignant or not. Similarly, these people are doing tapas only for getting from the world. They want to become more powerful. They want to become rich. Everything for themselves. You understand? So he says, no. Do tapo yajna. Then yoga yajna. Though he has already mentioned dama, shama and all that, yoga when you say, it is ashtanga yoga. Where dama, shama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi, all are included. Then, after yoga yajna, swadhyaya yajna. Swadhyaya yajna is Veda patanam. Just literally chanting the Vedas. The chanting of Vedas, the mantras. Mantra means manana trayate iti mantras. The sound vibrations have effect over your mind. Just rearranging the certain sounds irritates you. Can you just switch off that? You say, my God. You understand? And certain music, when it goes on, it soothes, quietens you. Somebody told me a certain music played in dental clinic systems. The most frightening experience. You know, sitting, keeping your mouth open, and that fellow is bringing a driller. It's terrifying. So there's certain music going on. Vibrations. You understand? So therefore, just the chanting of the mantras. Every day you need to do this as yajna, with awareness. Everything has to be done with awareness. The moment awareness is gone, it ceases to be spiritual activity. Then jnana yajna. Building awareness within by focusing, by studying, by reflecting, by discriminating. This is called jnana yajna. Swadhyaya jnana yajna. Daily study. Daily study, reflection, discriminating, analyzing, all that you need to do on a daily basis. So we have completed how many yajnas? 10.
Prana.
Then pranayama yajna. Breath control. Pranayama means controlling your breath. See, every human being is a composite personality. When you say personality development, personality development course many people conduct. They talk about hair grooming, facial and this and that. That is at the external level. That alone is not personality development, right? There are so many things. You have a food sheet, annamaya kosha. Then pranamaya kosha, the prana body, vital air sheet. Then manomaya kosha, the mind sheet. Then vijnanamaya kosha, the intellect sheet. Then anandamaya kosha, the vasana sheet or the impression sheet. And then inside is atma. So personality development means development at all levels. That is what is called as complete composite personality development.
Can you repeat the
pancha kosha? Annamaya kosha. Annamaya kosha means food sheet. Annam means food. Why is it called food sheet? This body is called as food sheet. This body is primarily due to the food digested by the parents. Right? Then this body is sustained by the food. You eat the food and you sustain it. And this body itself is food. Mosquitoes feeds on. And when the person dies, you understand. You will see so many germs. Already there are bacteria. Body is nothing but food sheath. Then prana body, vital air sheath. What is called as pranamaya kosha, annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha. Kosha means sheath. Then manomaya kosha.
No, so what is pranamaya?
Pranamaya kosha is vital air sheath. You have this vital air, breath, physiological functions guided by your breath, prana. Then prana, apana, samana, vyana, udana. These are the pancha pranas. Then manomaya kosha, mental sheath. Then vijnanamaya kosha, intellectual sheath. Then anandamaya kosha, bliss sheath, which is vasana sheath. All these put together is covering your atma. This entire thing put together is composite personality. So your sadhana has to be at all levels. So he talks about pranayama. Purakam, rejakam, kumbhakam. When you do anulovilom pranayama, what do you do? You take inhalation and then exhalation and then holding. All this needs to be done with awareness. The entire personality level, you do this. And then your whole thing is sustained by ahara. Ahara has to be regulated. Firstly, what kind of food you can eat. What food to eat. When to eat. How much to eat. Regulation. You understand? Because food, you may say, what about food? What is happening to your food when you eat? It is turning itself into converted to sugar and gets passed on through the blood and gets circulated throughout the body. So the entire chemical reaction that happens has an effect on your body. Your mind and intellect has to express itself through your body only. You have a beautiful Mercedes-Benz engine fitted in a car whose tires are completely punctured. What kind of performance will it have? You understand? It won't even move. So exactly like that, your ahara, you need to be very aware of what is in. In fact, ahara is not just food for your body. Any food, any sense, everything that is going in.
Food also affects our thoughts, no?
Of course. But much more than that is your sense input. You understand? Sense input. What kind of thoughts you are sending in. All that. Everywhere you have certain control. Then he says in 31, he says, this world is for people who live this yajna lifestyle. This world is not for people who do not live this yajna lifestyle. In other words, if people live without awareness, they will not enjoy this world. Forget about the other world. Forget about realization and all that. Even if you wish to be happily living here in this world, you need to perform yajna. You need to convert your life into yajna lifestyle. So the eaters of nectar, the remnant of sacrifice, goes to eternal Brahman. This world is not for the non-sacrificer. How then the other? Eaters of nectar. What does that mean? Having sacrificed, what comes out of that is nectar. Amrita. Amrita means death. Amrita means they go beyond death. Once a person gains awareness, he realizes the fact that he is Atma. When you do meditation, first in Yoga Nidra or anything, first they say, keep your attention and focus on the external environment. Keeping your eyes closed, be aware of the bird chirping. The flight noise, etc., etc. Then they say, slowly become aware of your body sensations, then your breath, then your thoughts, emotions and thoughts, and then you are non-judgmentally supposed to be witnessing your thoughts. And when you are witnessing your thoughts, slowly, slowly, you de-identify from thoughts by understanding that anything that could be objectified is not the subject. You understand? And the real subject is the witnessing aspect and not what can be objectified. Since thoughts can be objectified and I am identifying myself with the witness, then I am actually becoming a witness. So when you become witness, you become immortal. You detach yourself from the body, mind and intellect. You clearly understand that I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the intellect. These are manifestations. I am the Atma which is beyond the manifestation, which is imperishable. And when you have identified with Atma, which is having no beginning, no end, no birth, no death, you go beyond death. You reach a state of Amrita. You are eaters of nectar. Their life will be happy. Whether you reach Brahman, Atman and all that or not, you remain here very happily, provided you do actions consciously, mindfully, with awareness. So therefore, you gain that knowledge, gain that awareness. Firstly, to gain that awareness, what should we have? We should be clear that today I do not have that awareness. I must build that awareness. And when you know that you do not know, you are a Shishya. You only know that you do not know. You do not know whether you are capable of gaining that knowledge and awareness. How to gain that knowledge and awareness, you do not know. So what do? You go to a guru and surrender. Tat vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinah. This is what verse number 34 is saying. Very important off-quoted verse. Know that by prostration, by questioning and by service, the wise who have realized the truth will teach you the knowledge. As a Shishya, I am very clear, I don't know. So what do? I go and surrender to the master, prostrate to the master and surrender and say that I don't know, I would like to learn from you. And master will teach you if he finds you eligible to be taught immediately. If not, he will say, do some service till you become eligible to receive. And even while receiving, you don't receive blindly, you receive by questioning, through alertness, and then you reflect and then make that knowledge your own. And to make that knowledge your own, you continue doing your service. By service, the knowledge slowly gets digested. This knowledge that we talk about is destruction of ego. Your awareness cannot come out till the ego shell is not destroyed. It's like the young one is inside the egg shell. If it has to come out, it has to break the egg shell and come out. Similarly, ego and awareness doesn't go hand in hand. You cannot be egoistic and be aware also. Not possible. So you need to break the ego and gain the awareness. And to break the ego, you need to continue doing service. So thus, you gain the knowledge from the Guru. And knowing that what happens, thereafter you will not be deluded anymore. What is this delusion? We spent some time in discussing this also. What is the delusion that he's talking about? The primary delusion that we have is, I am an individual. Like a wave is thinking that it is separate from ocean and it has separate entity called wave. Is there any separate entity called wave? Nothing. Exactly like that, we are imagining ourselves to be separate individual. Oh, I am born on so-and-so date. Then worry comes, I am going to die. So out of that delusion that I am going to die, what do we do? Everything we do today is just to postpone our death. Isn't it? We amass so much wealth. Why? Thinking that at the end, at least that wealth will help me to keep me in ICU. Can give that wealth to the hospitals, they'll keep me in ICU with all the oxygen cylinders and everything. At least I can continue to live. I have so many people, I give rise, birth to children and all that. Why? Hope that they will continue taking care of me. All our efforts are what? Fighting with death. Delusion. Once I gain this knowledge, thereafter I am going to live my life. I am not going to be fighting with death. That is why Vedanta says, nobody lives. You wonder, what is this Vedantins are talking? They are saying, we don't know how to live. We don't live. They say, you are not living. You are constantly fighting with death. Like Adi Shankara says in Bhajagovindam, Yamenana Charcha. Don't do Charcha with Yama. Don't fight with Yama. We are constantly fighting with Yama. We seldom live. Constant fear. If you read newspaper, every day some new disease, some plague, some this, bird flu, swine flu, this, terrified, we are terrified. Supposing we sneeze, could it be bird flu? Could it be swine flu? We are terrified. All this will not be there once you gain that awareness. Your delusion will be gone, by which you will see all beings in the self also in me. Once this delusion you cross over, you will be identifying with all beings as same. This is the test of development. Today we see a beautiful flower on the blossomed on the plant. Simply won't pluck it. No awareness. Somebody is killing so many animals. No awareness. Right? When the awareness comes, when the consciousness comes, then you will not be destroying anymore. You can't be destructive anymore. You will be constructive. You will be compassionate. So that's what he's saying. You will start identifying with each and every self. Today you are at the body level. At the body level, other animals, other beings are some products that could what? Entertain your tongue for a while. Isn't it? But if you go from body level deeper, thereafter you will not see them as products that could entertain your tongue for a while. You will start seeing them as beings. Once you start seeing them as beings, your identification will be there. Thereafter, you will not be violent with them anymore. It's not possible. Therefore, he says, they will see all beings in the self and also in me. And such people, they act in the world out of compassion and love without any violence. It's within them. You may find them in an apparent violent scene, like Lord Krishna is seen in a violent scene, but within him there is no violence. You understand? So such people do always continue performing actions out of compassion and love. There is no identification with the body. Therefore, they don't think that they are the doers. Therefore, there is no more question of karma adding on to their actions. When we do action, we are remaining there as doers. Even when we are not doing actions, we are remaining there as doers. Therefore, we will be gathering papa and punya. In his case, while acting also, since he is identifying with Atman functioning, they are not gathering any more papa and punya. So therefore Lord Krishna concludes by saying, Tasmat, therefore cutting us under with the sword of knowledge, this ignorant bond, doubt of the self, dwelling in your heart, be established in yoga, arise O Bharata. You must cut off this ignorance bond, karma, this ignorance bond, doubt of the self, by knowledge. You have to gain this knowledge. And in between few verses before the last verse, he said, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatpara sayatendriya. To gain this knowledge, you need to have Shraddha. And you need to be sense controlled. Samyatendriya. Indriya should be controlled. Indriya, bahya indriya is your senses. Antar indriya is your mind. When we say indriya, bahya means outside. Antar means inside. External and internal. Bahya indriya is your eyes. Antar indriya is your mind. Both needs to be controlled. Without controlling, supposing anything for that matter, when you are in a class, whichever class it might be, not necessarily Bhagavad Gita class, any class, if you are playing with your mobile phone, and lecture is also going on, will it go in? Or your mind has taken you somewhere, will you be able to absorb? You need to have control of the bhagya and antar. Without that, it is impossible to gain knowledge. And then deep inside, you should have shraddha. Shraddha is not superficial, it is much deep. You understand? Then you will be consistently experimenting what you study in your life, and then you will be reaching the Atma, gaining that awareness. And once you have gained that awareness, the Kartrutva is removed, and when Kartrutva is removed, all the sins are removed. So it doesn't really matter whether you are a sinner or sinner of all sinners. The moment you gain awareness, everything is removed. How big the pile of cotton is, you need not worry. All you need to do is strike a matchstick. Instantly, the entire pile of cotton will be burnt to ashes. This is what Lord Krishna says. Therefore, he emphasizes on gaining this awareness. For that, what do you have to do? First thing is, I must realize I do not have awareness. And without awareness, when I function, I am destroying myself. And therefore, I must gain this awareness. And to gain this awareness, I must find a guru. And having gone to the guru, I must first practice sense control and mind control, and then continue doing my service and gaining the knowledge and experimenting in my life. Slowly, slowly, the knowledge converts itself into wisdom, and I gain awareness with which I destroy the ignorance completely. Once having risen to the level of awareness, thereafter there is no question of falling. Hari Om.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.